family. My name is Kelly, and I am a grateful recovering addict. Before I get started, can I please see a show of hands of all the newcomers in the room? I have to keep very vigilant about that because they are the most important people in this room. And I sure hope that you guys stick and stay because it does work. But it takes a lot of work to stick and stay. Vigilance is always being aware, on the lookout, watchful, like a hawk. And I did a lot of that in active addiction. You know, I was watching everybody, especially all the drug dealers, you know, because you were going to become my best friend, you know. But today it's not like that. I'm very vigilant about my recovery. I just celebrated 19 years on April 17th. I've done step work. I've had sponsees. I've had several sponsors. I've done some work. You know, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And I'm aware of that. And I'm very grateful for that. And it wasn't until I was ready, I was done. And I had to be very aware of that. Nobody could do it for me. Not my mother, not my children, no one but me. It was Easter time, and my mother had taken my children and kept them and told me, and when I got my life together, I could get them back. So I left. And they kicked me out. I didn't leave. They threw me out. I put my kids in a lot of danger, you know, and I wasn't aware of that. All I was aware of was getting high, you know, or where I was going to get it from, you know. I jeopardized their home, their well-being, and their safety. I didn't think about that stuff, but I think about that stuff today. I put myself in treatment, and when I went there, I listened to the counselors. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You know, that's what they taught you in treatment. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
step one was I admitted, not, you know, and I was done, and I put myself in treatment,
and there was an old counselor in there who talked about, basically, he talked a lot about step three, and, you know, but I would do a lot of reading, I would pay attention, I would try to follow all the rules. You know, I wasn't well yet. I'm still not well. I still have a lot of work to do. But it wasn't until when they teach you that 1, 2, 3 and 1, 2, 3 and you really pay attention and you read. I had a warrant out for my arrest, and they took me and turned myself in while I was in treatment, and the commissioner let me go back to treatment. And that was my first awareness of my higher power. That my higher power, that was step two, that my higher power was working through that commissioner. That commissioner at the time was my higher power that let me go back to treatment, you know. And I learned that my higher power would be anything. Not could be, but would be. It would be my therapist. You know,
It's going to be the speaker at the meeting. It's going to be my boss. It's going to be my landlord. It's going to be anything greater than me. Yeah. And I couldn't control anything anymore. Everything was totally unmanageable, but I just knew I wanted to learn a new way of life. I wanted to learn something different because what I was doing wasn't working. You know, I was so mad at my mother that I was going to do everything I could to piss her off, and that I could do this on my own. And, you know, it just didn't work. You know, I'm aware of all that stuff today, and, you know, my mother's like my best friend now, and she's getting up in age, and I'm aware that it's my responsibility to take care of my mother. But anyway, I went through treatment, and let me go back. I don't want to keep skipping around because I'm nervous. I'll do that, and you know. But I just when they told me in treatment after I get out, you know, do 90 and 90. I did that. I went to outpatient 5 days a week for 8 hours a day. I did that. I did whatever, you know, they told me, suggestions, you know, just stay clean. That's what I did, you know. And I kept seeing, noticing that my higher power was working in my life. You know, things were starting to fall into place. You know, I moved to Frederick. That's where I live now. I'm from Montgomery County. I got clean in Montgomery County. I remember a few people I see that are still around. I went to Outpatient Addiction Treatment Center on Twinbrook Parkway. Went to Avery Road. And I loved it. You know, I loved it. Then I started being like, all these women were coming up to me and wanting to help me, and, you know, I didn't want anything to do with women because the women were going to tell me what I didn't want to hear, you know, and the men will always tell me what I want to hear, and, you know, but I had to pay attention to them because the women, my predecessors, were my higher power. You know, they were going to teach me. You know, that's part of being vigilant too, is teaching, waiting for that teacher to arrive, to appear. You know, and the women in the rooms were my higher power, and they would teach me how to be a woman. And I thought I was a sophisticated crackhead. You know? Like the main speaker talked about last night, I had a job, I had an apartment, and all that. But at the end, I didn't have anything. But I thought I looked good. I thought my clothes looked good on me. You know, I smelled good, you know. But I smoked crack in my house, and we all know what that stale smoke smells like. You know, you know, I thought all kinds of things. You know, my disease would tell me anything, you know. And so I've learned a lot of good things in here, you know, about being a woman and being a responsible employee, going to work, being on time, you know, leaving on time, not taking off every day of the week. Because I had personal leave or I had sick leave, and I'd use it all up in 1 month. You know, I was able to like build that now, you know, when I have a job, you know, and I'd work and I'd be a dedicated employee. And I remember going to a meeting, and one of them women that I would watch, And she had some time, and you know, those are the type of women I would watch like a hawk. You know, I wanted what they had. And one of the material stuff I wanted that they had. Because, you know, I'd watch everybody. And I didn't know how everybody lived, but I'd watch what you would say and how you would talk and, you know, and that you weren't, like, all over the men, and the men weren't, you know, and those women would tell the men, you know, leave that newcomer alone.
That's right.
You know, go stick your butt down somewhere. Leave her alone. You know, and I was like, wow. You know, I was like, that's the type of women I want in my life. And I would be aware of that. But that's what I needed. You know, and that's not what I wanted, but it's what I needed. You know, but I was also taught in here, what I want, don't do. What you don't want, do. You know? Because I was like, he said, they're like, you're wired backwards. You know, so do everything opposite of what you would do. You know? You know, and then there was a reason why they tell you not to date in the first year, and I figured that one out early on. I met this cute guy in outpatient addiction, and he was, you know, he was doing some service work, and he was going to some meetings and stuff, you know, but he had the same time I did, you know. So I worked in Frederick, I lived in Silver Spring, he lived with his parents, so that should have been a red flag there, and I didn't want to drive all the way to Silver Spring, so I was like, oh, I can stop, you know, and I'll sleep there tonight. I was using him. I didn't really want to stop there. It was convenient for me, so I was using him. But when I got there, you know, another red flag was, hide your keys. So I hid my keys under the couch cushion, and I went and took a shower, and didn't pay any attention to him. All I wanted to do was sleep, you know. And he was out on the balcony, and I thought he was just out there, like, meditating or chilling, you know, or something like that. You know, but he was drinking vodka. And I fell asleep. Next thing I know, I wake up, and he's going through my purse, you know, and saying, where are your keys to your car? And I'm like, I just jumped up, and, you know, and I would fight anyone. You know, I don't care if you beat my ass or not, I'm still going to fight you. And I grew up with four brothers, you know, and they taught me everything. My reaction was to grab my purse away from him. And when I grabbed my purse and he swung, see, because I've been abused my whole life too. So when he swung, I swung. And, you know, that was the wrong thing to do to somebody in active addiction. He had locked all the doors in the house. His parents were 80 years old. He had locked all the doors in the house, ripped all the phone wires out of the wall. He had hit his father, knocked him down. He had pushed me around a little bit, but when I went to walk back to his parents' room, you know, try to get away, he kind of like he was behind me, but he came around like this, and he, you know, busted my eye, had black eyes and stitches, and, you know, and then I remember being in the corner of that room, and I was like, God, please get me out of here, you know, just get me out. And I turn around, I look at him, and I was like, just let me go to the hospital, and I won't press charges. And he let me go, and he, you know, drugged me out of the house or whatever. But I ended up with, you know, two black eyes, being abused again, and I did get this one arrested. I did get press charges on him, and because that next day after I got out of the hospital, I didn't lay in the bed. I got myself up, and I went to outpatient. You know, and a bunch of people told me, you're going to press charges. You're going to do this, you're going to do this, and this is how you're going to do it, but we're going to take you, you know, and you're not going to allow anybody to do this to you again. You know, so I did. And nothing happened to him, and, you know, my reaction was, man, I really want to hurt this dude. You know, I want to get some of my friends. I got some Jamaican friends. Because being out in addiction, you meet some people that will do some harmful stuff, you know. And I had some brothers, and I was like, you know. And everybody's like, no, Kelly, it'll be all right. You step back and you watch your higher power work. You know, and he's going to relieve all that from you. And he did, you know. You know, I had to be vigilant, and I had to pay attention, and I had to watch my higher power work. It wasn't my job to go after him and to hurt him, because he hurt me. You know, I'm sure a lot of people wanted to come back after me. Yeah. You know, and I had to think about all of, you know, the wrong that I did, and you know. So I just kept on going, persevere. You know. So my little part-time job in Frederick turned into a full-time job. You know, I had to watch God work in my life with, you know, because I was facing charges. I was facing 10 years in prison because, you know, I'd gotten into a jump out. I had, you know, and I went to court. After, you know, I got the warrant and I turned myself in, I got another court date. I went to court and I went in front of the judge and, you know, the narcotics unit. They weren't going to plea bargain or anything, you know, with all that. But I was like, okay, right before I walked in the courtroom, I was like, okay, God, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to pay the consequences. Because I was taught that in the room, too. And when I got in there, they didn't want a plea bargain or nothing like that. They wanted me to do the 10. My lawyer and I got up there, and when the judge opened up the folder with my charges in it, the only thing that was in there was paraphernalia and marijuana charge, which are misdemeanors. And they were looking, the narcotics unit, the state's attorney, they were all looking for the charges, and nobody could find them. And my lawyer's like, the judge's like, well, what do y'all want to do? You want to stay here the rest of the day on these misdemeanor charges? And they were like, no. So the judge says, you're free to go. And my lawyer's like, I don't know what happened. And I just happened to look up in the corner of the room, you know, like over like that. And I'm like, I know what happened. That was God giving me my second chance of a new way of life. And I've taken that chance, and I haven't looked back, you know, because my head was clear, I was being vigilant, and I was keeping on persevering, and I wasn't turning back, because I was told that I could get, the thing I could free from active addiction, and that's all I wanted, And then when I wanted that and was willing to do whatever it took to stay stopped from not using, wow, everything else was just falling into place. I mean, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you like all these blessings I've gotten, because I've gotten many. I have to be vigilant because I had ADHD really bad. I have OCD really bad, and I have a lot of health issues right now. I mean, they're just little minor things, but I have to be vigilant in taking care of those things so they don't turn into big things, you know. I was told, I used to come in the rooms and be all with the heels and, you know, the tight pants and the shirts that were too small, and my boobs were hanging out. But I was told I couldn't, to be the woman that I wanted to be, I couldn't do that anymore. That wasn't the way I was to present myself, you know. But I did it for a while, you know, because I still wanted the attention from the guys. And I used to wear all the jewelry and the rings and the necklaces and spent a lot of money on that stuff, you know. But it's funny because all that stuff has been stripped from me. Like, it's either been taken, stolen from me, you know. And it's like, I'm me now. This is just me. I used to wear makeup and all that stuff, and I'm okay with just me. Because I'm free, you know, because I remain vigilant in my recovery. You know, have I done everything perfect? No, I've made a lot of mistakes, you know. I just try not to hurt myself. I try not to hurt others. I try to help others, you know. I did a lot of service work for about 12 years. I do a little bit now. But, you know, when I found out why I did all that service work, and I would do this, and you'd ask me to do that, and I'd do this and that, and I'd run around, you know. And when all that went away, I still had to live with me, and I was lost. Because I forgot about doing my step work, you know. I forgot about calling my sponsor as much as I was doing. I forgot about journaling. I forgot about prayer and meditation, and you know, because sometimes I just didn't really, because it was getting deeper, you know, because we have to dig real deep, and it was getting deeper, and I knew this, you know, but I just didn't want to do that deep, deep work, you know, and I try not to be selfish and self-centered, you know. I was also told when I came in here, you know, because I used to want to be the best mom again and do the best thing I could for my sons. I had two young men, you know, when I first came in here, and now they're grown men. And my disease, this is the vigilance too, my disease couldn't get to me, but my disease would go straight to them. We'd be riding down the road, my oldest son would say, "Mom, come on, you're all right now, let's go have a drink." I was like, "No, I can't do that." My youngest son would say, "Don't you think you've gone to enough meetings and you're okay now? You don't have to go there anymore. You're all right." No. This is home. You know, I can't forget about this because this is the place where I learned to live a whole new way of life. This is what gave me. You all gave me this. The newcomers give me this. I couldn't do this without any of you newcomers. You know, it's so much better to live this life, even if, you know, you're not getting the big cars and the big homes. I've had a house, I've lost it, foreclosure. You know, I've had all that material stuff, and, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, because, you know, I'm still unmanageable. And because, look, I have a learning disability. I didn't read all the papers all the way through, the mortgage papers. All I wanted to do was sign. You know, I didn't take anybody with me, you know, to help me understand everything. I just wanted that house. You know, I didn't think about what it was going to take to maintain that house. When I bought a lemon house that needed four new bathrooms, and, you know, I had to let all that go. I kept trying to hold on and hold on, you know. And I had to let it go. I got tired of holding on. That's 5 minutes? Okay. My youngest son, he's here with me this year. He's in recovery. say one thing about the men in the Frederick area.
Yeah.
They have come to him. And I am so appreciative of you guys.
That's right.
I mean, the love and the support that they have given him.
All right.
And teaching him a new way to live. Because I couldn't do it. I have to get out of the way. I'm the mother. You know, my higher power, not his higher power. And I'm not his higher power. But these guys, I love you guys. And thanks for letting me share.